Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Henry Strauss is a South African actor, performer, and has worked behind the scenes on television productions. Having studied and graduated with honors in drama and film, Henry transitioned from a successful theater career to excel in both production and on-screen performances. In 2023, Henry served as a production and cast coordinator on the Cake Next reality program, Die Brug. He was also the first assistant director for Vetkoek Paleis 2. Making his acting debut as Chris van Staden in season 2 of Diplomaters, Henry has moved from behind-the-scenes roles to also captivate audiences with a compelling on-screen presence. Up next on Celeb Savant, live in studio at Solid Gold Podcasts in Randburg, Johannesburg, South Africa, is Henry Strauss.
Welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
Cool, so how are things going? What's happening in your world at the moment?
This week has actually been a little bit more chilled than it's been for the past few months. Like, it was incredibly hectic. Had lots of projects running. It was up and down between Cape Town and here. And, sleepless nights. And it was just crazy. And then ever since the last event that I was working on finished on Saturday. So since Monday, I feel like I'm able to breathe. So it's going a lot better.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so now let's rewind. At what age, whether it was a child or teenager, did you feel cool? I want to be in the space of acting in the entertainment world. And how did that journey progress to where we are today?
Hectic. loaded question. In high school, I started venturing down the avenues of performing and being in like the high school reviews and all of those kind of things, those kind of shows, which isn't really that great exposure, but it was cool.
But it is experience.
Yeah, it is experience. Yeah. And I was definitely interested, but there was also this connectation to it that, especially in the small town where I'm coming from, which is Hartbeespoort. So there's this preconceived idea that everyone doing that is a little bit more on the fame side.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So you don't want those stereotypes connected to you. So I didn't like follow it wholeheartedly until I got to university. I started with studying BSc Human Physiology, Genetics and Psychology.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I did that for a year. And then, but during the year, I told my parents, like I saw this, this theater production. I was like, I'm thinking about going into drama. How do you guys feel about it? And they're like, no, you can't do it. You have to, or at least just finish this year of studying and then we can see how it goes. But then at the end of my first year, I saw Equus. So I watched that. And then I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I definitely need to do this for the rest of my life. And I walked out of the theater and I went and changed my degree to drama. And then in the next year, when my dad started still paying my studies, bless his heart for doing that, he was like, wait a minute, this is a BA drama degree. Like, what happened here?
Didn't you tell them?
No,
you just changed.
I just changed.
Okay.
Yeah, because they weren't going to allow me. And I need to do that.
Yeah.
So then I started studying drama. They let me do it, and they were like always a little bit worried whether I'm gonna make it or not, but it was the most incredible time. So yeah, then I did that. I did my honors at Tux in directing and physical theater. Yeah, and then I just popped into the industry from there, working behind the screens the whole time. And then at the beginning of this year, I got in front of the camera. I thought I'll just try it out, and then Diplomaters came across my path, and here we are now.
What is physical theater for the people who do not know that, what that is?
Dancers will hate me, but it's kind of like dancing. It's just with like more emotion, more storytelling. So instead of doing a sequence of like one song or like 10 minutes or so, you will do a 45 to an hour and a half production that has lots of like storylines woven through it, but it's all very physical, dramatic, not a lot of words, very absurd theater kind of aspects to it, yeah.
And then when you changed from your BSc through to BA drama, and how long did it take for your parents to realize that you had changed?
Not a while, actually. I did finish the year, my first year completely as they hoped I would or asked me to. And I think about like midway through, they were like, yeah, there's something fishy going on here. And then I invited them to come and watch my first show.
So is that how you told them?
No, they were like, what's going on here? And they were very upset and everything. But then I said, no, it's really worth it. And you'll see that I'm actually quite good at what I do. So please just come and watch the show and then you can decide for yourself and we can chat about it then after that.
Yeah. And if there wasn't that stereotype of in How to Be a Sport, the stereotype of you or of a person who does that type of stuff being more, as you said, femme, if that, what connotation wasn't there, do you think you would have followed the path a little bit more?
I think so. I think so. And I was like, maybe it helped me back all those years so that I could have been going down this venture a lot earlier in my life. But I think in the end of the day, it kind of built character. It gave me a backstory. It gave me lots of different worldviews and stuff that I now feel very passionate about and would like to fight for and so on. So I think in the end of the day, it happened the way it was supposed to.
Okay. And now you said after your course, after you finished studying, you were doing stuff behind the scenes. So what exactly were you doing?
So I started as a production assistant. Just working, trying to do as much as possible. And then on a few different productions. And then slowly I try to like get a little bit more responsibility. Like, oh no, don't worry. I can do that or I can do that. And I just kept doing that. And eventually, I was the production coordinator for a lot of their productions. And then I became production manager. And, actually last month when it was so busy, I was the producer for 8 short films. I just climbed the ladder from there.
So it was a very strategic in the sense that you were putting your ears to the wall and it was like whenever someone said, oh, out of your, you know, not in within your conversation too, or possibly with you thinking, oh, we need someone to do this. And you're like, okay, I can do this. And you just put your hand up.
Yeah.
But was it always the case of you knew what to do or you just thought, okay, I'm just going to figure it out?
No, I was going to figure it out because I didn't study film. I studied theater. So the worlds are a little bit different. And I don't know a lot of like the gear and the tech and stuff that we were used to. But I was like, I'm definitely going to do this. So, and Dux didn't have a film degree.
Okay.
So I had to go the theater route in any case, but I knew where I wanted to end up. I just kind of listened and then I would like, okay, how do you do this and figure it out and then go and yeah.
What, YouTube tutorials or?
YouTube is your friend, 100%. Yeah.
Let's unpack that a little bit more. So you said production assistant, production coordinator, production manager. What does the assistant, coordinator, manager do in the different roles?
So the assistant, you're basically like a runner, but more on the production side. So you get your film camera runner, which is on set.
Yeah.
This one is in the production office. So you print a lot of things and you go and do a lot of coffee runs.
Okay.
You're very much the Andrea in The Devil Wears Prada. And then you get to production coordinator where they have the plan and they have all the arrangements and everything in place and it's all set, but they just need a way for all of this to flow and come together in a schedule and everyone knows when to be where.
So when you say everyone, you're meaning the actors and the
crew, literally everyone. So you make sure that there's this coherency between everyone that's part of the project, that everyone is at the places where they're supposed to be and that it will have a flow and work and logistically make sense. So you figure out the logistics, like, oh, we're going from this location to that location. We'll probably need some transport.
Yep.
Maybe we can get a bus hire and then you get that. And yeah, so that's production coordinator. And then you go into production manager who would get all the things in place. Like we need this arrangements to happen and these arrangements to happen. Whether they logistically are going to make sense doesn't necessarily have to be your responsibility because that can then fall onto the production coordinator again. Okay. But you make all those little plans like, oh, we need plane tickets. So now we're going to get all the information and the things that we need. And okay, cool. Plane tickets can be bought. We have the funds, yada, yada. And then the coordinator will go and book them and make sure that it falls into everyone's schedule and so on.
So having been an assistant and coordinator previously, does it help you in being a production manager in the sense that you now know those other levels to understand that, okay, when you make your decisions, you understand the other person's roles. So you have that bigger picture in mind.
Mm. 100%, yeah. I think it's the natural progression of these kind of roles in any case. No one starts off as a producer. I think basically everyone starts as a production assistant at some point. And then you build it up. Because also when you eventually get to the production manager, producer roles, you need to really know the industry. You also need to be known in the industry. You build up a team of people that you put together. So you have all of your contacts together and you know, like, okay, we work well together. We can do this. And this is the kind of arrangements that can be put in place. So you have to build that over the years and experience.
Okay.
Which I think you do when you're in the lower roles.
So. Okay. And I suppose a good production manager will keep in mind those experiences as building up their experience and understand, as you mentioned earlier, that production managers sometimes make decisions that aren't necessarily logistically possible, but then it goes to the production coordinator. But if you've remembered, if you're a person who's not of ego and a person who's had the experience in hand on, they would generally make more decisions that would be logistically possible because the things will be smoother then, correct?
Yeah. No, I think it definitely makes you better in what you do by working in the previous roles sure. But it's a back and forth. So you will ask something to happen and the coordinator will then say whether it's possible or not. And then you're like, okay, cool, let's make a different plan. And everyone works very like tightly woven.
Okay.
Yeah.
I suppose it has to.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
For the people who just sit at home and watch a television program like The End Result,
mm-hmm.
being a production manager on, let's say, a short film,
mm-hmm.
how long is a short film? 10, 20 minutes?
It depends. It can go up to 45.
Okay. So now, when does a production manager come into the process? At the very beginning, should be.
Okay. So you will have the executives and the people with the ideas and all of this. And they will go to a producer and be like, we have this idea. We have the script. We have the funds and we would like to make this happen. And you give it to your producer. The producer is like, cool, I will do that for you. So the producer then goes and say, okay, this is my funds that I have available. This is the team that I can put together. This is the timeline that we can kind of look at. Is this possible or not? And then they're like, okay, cool. Then they will bring the first person that a producer will generally bring in is the production manager.
Okay.
Yeah. To come and help them and then start the planning process. Well, it will be a manager on the production side. It will be a DOP on the filmography side. Yeah.
What's DOP stand for?
It's the director of photography.
Director of photography. So then you said that you were now moved in front of the camera. Was that always a goal?
Yes, it was. I never knew if I have the skills or where I'd be able to do it. Because I think I also get classified into very specific roles. And I don't, and back when I was younger, there wasn't like a lot of space for kids like me on TV. But these days, they're everywhere.
So, wait, so what do you mean by that?
Well, Afrikaans TV is the most dominant, I'd say, in South Africa within our industry right now. We don't make a big like English blockbusters that goes overseas or not. It was a lot of the like Lieflings and Pretwil and all those kind of shows. But you needed very straight acting, masculine kind of characters to play these roles. I don't think that people like kids with piercings, tattoos and a mullet would necessarily play homosexual characters.
Yes.
In a non-stereotypical way, where it would always be like a caricature that you add on as a point of comedic relief or anything, but it never carried like the main storyline.
Yes.
And they didn't write a lot of depth for these characters. So, and here we are now. It happens everywhere.
Did it take longer time in the Afrikaans world for these characters come? Because obviously in the overseas American, the English world, it's been there for not long enough, but for like 10, 15 sort of ish years. Did it take a longer period for the Afrikaans sort of shows to open up towards that?
I think so.
Okay.
Because like I say, they were queer and gay characters a lot earlier, but they were like small parts in the background.
Yes.
Coming
in. On the periphery,
and, just looking in. But I think it's very recent. We had Kyle Clark, who played on Seven Alone, and they were a gay couple, right? And there was also, I think I heard on Villa Rosa, I never watched it, but apparently there was a gay character there as well that like was represented for quite some time.
Yeah.
And we have now brilliant shows that show much more of the queer younger generation, like Vafi and Cook and so on. So, in the Afrikaans specific kind of films now. But I think it's still very new for the community, because even in Diepe Waters, which is a very like family program, family oriented program, it happens during dinner time where the whole family sits in front of the TV and eats together. To have a gay character in there that is not just there for comedic relief, but it's actually there to carry the storyline that has depth, and it's fully rounded. I think it's very new because everyone's still very shocked by
it.
To see that on TV. Not even that it was long lived. I mean, my character was straight, like no one knew he was gay from the beginning. And the actual gay storyline was just 2 weeks. But it made such an uproar. So,
oh, really? Yeah. That's so fascinating. Because I remember there was Igoli platform Khot, like many years ago. And there was gay characters and gay couple who were prominent.
That's
like,
true. Yeah.
Not in the beginning, but like nearer the, like, I can't remember. It was on for like 10 years. So I'm not sure from what period to what period. But like, it's true. Like even over CCTV, like when I was struggling, for me, it was like, the only gay representative on the television many years back was the screaming queen hairdresser. Mm. So I thought if I was gay, meant I needed to be that. So there wasn't any representation of like, okay, a gay person can be a doctor, can be a this or that. That's who you are.
Yeah.
So that was a struggle for me. And then I was so excited when more representation of different types, inverted commas, of LGBT people were represented on TV and stuff. I remember back at the Isi Dingo, they had it was very new. And at the time, like to see a gay person so front, and I never watched it, but I just thought, okay, I want to watch that because I want to see someone more like me.
Yes.
Which wasn't very often noticed on television until like, and then Glee came along and then it just literally blew up the glitter ball into every single show. Now it's got like, I totally get what you mean.
Yeah.
So
it's brilliant.
When you started, then you said you weren't sure if you could be an actor if you had the skills. When was the click to realize, I can actually do this?
Well, I still didn't know since the day that I started. And I sent in the self-tape to Penguin Films and Cake Nate. And I was like, okay, well, we'll see what happens. I'm sending it through. I'm not going to think about it anymore. It's there. It's done. But I kept thinking about it the whole time and I couldn't stop. And then I got a call back and I was ecstatic. I went and the moment I got out of there, I was like, oh, I don't know. I think it went well, but I'm not sure of what to expect. I called my mother. I was like, what am I supposed to do? I'm so worried. And then, and what if I get it? Because I don't think I'm going to be able to go through with everything and I'll be able to carry it or whatnot. And then I just waited and then I got it. And I was like, okay, so now there's no turning back anymore. I have to be going through with this now. So then even the first day when I was on set, I was like, I still don't know what I'm doing. but eventually, I think when I realized that people actually do like the character, they found him very likable. I got compliments on social media, which I've never done before because none of my acting was ever like out there. Usually it was for physical theater where I was dancing, but I wasn't like physically talking or acting on screen or stuff. So the first compliments I got were from the public just messaging me and saying like, oh, you're such a good character. And then I started meeting people and in public, like when I go to events or I go to the shops or whatever, and they recognize me and they would like to take a photo and stuff. And I'm like, this is extremely new. And then they're like, oh, you just have to say you're such a good actor and you're so natural and whatever. And then slowly but surely it started sinking in like, okay, maybe there's potential there. Maybe I can do it. They seem to be seeing something. So, yeah.
Tell us more. It's Diepe Waters, correct?
Yes.
My Afrikaans is not great. So Diepe Waters. Diepe Waters is a what? Tell us about the show, what your character's name is. We've heard a little bit, but let's dive a little bit deeper into the show and the production.
So Diepe Waters is now in their season 3, which is new, season 2 just ended. There's lots of episodes in a season, like 200 or something. So it's a telenovela.
Sorry to interrupt. Sort of like Egoli or Sindingo type.
Kind of, yeah. Okay. So they were siepies.
Yes.
And this is a telenovela. The difference is just the amount of season. So like Siem Nalan, also a siepie. It's just something that continues and continues forever. And
like Days of Our Lives, Bold and Beautiful.
Just keeps going. Telenovelas are a little bit more fast-paced. They have like half the amount of episodes, which is still like 200 or something.
Yes.
And they usually end like after season 3 or 4, as far as I understand it now. So it's a little bit more fast-paced. And it's not like just everyday kind of things. You can stop watching and then weeks later get back and the same storyline will still be going.
Yeah.
Like it does change and develop and so on. So that's a telenovela. Yeah.
You said season 2 just finished?
Yes, and we're currently in season 3.
Okay.
My character's name is Chris van Staden. His father is Ben van Staden. Mm-hmm. He's the priest, the dominie. So he's a pastor kid. And then he has a sister, Marie van Staden. And there's no spoilers, everything has already happened, but she is a little bit crazy because of their mother who passed away long ago, and there's just been this whole journey that they go through. So then Chris comes to Boskrein, where the whole Deeper Water plays off, to help the family out during this difficult time and to support his father with his sister and yada yada.
Okay.
That then kind of continues, and then Chris starts getting a little bit more prevalence in the storyline. He makes a best friend, Carla, which is one of the main characters of Deeper Water. So they become best friends, kind of, and she falls in love with him. And he says, no, I can't be with you. And everyone's like, but why? They are so perfect together. And then it's not because he doesn't like it. It's because he's gay. And then he meets a guy called Brian. And they started dating. And then they move in together. And then they move out of the little dorpy.
So are you not in the show anymore?
So no, I'm out now.
Ah.
Yeah, very, very sad. So that whole thing happened. They moved in together. And then he was out. He comes back every now and again, like for an episode here or two episodes there. But he's basically done. Yeah, unfortunately. Well, I actually finished last week.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's finished filming?
Yes, I have one more.
And that's going to be part of season 3?
Yes.
But maybe they'll bring you back. Hopefully, let's put it out there for season 4 and then it'll be prevalent.
You know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you never know with these things. Why was there so much shock around the characters when he came out? Like, was it vitriol and negative? Or really?
It was, but there was also a lot of positive connected to it. I think he's so likable from the start. He's just kind to everyone. Everyone likes him. He does the right thing. He's smart. He does all the cool things. And so everyone starts liking him. And then when he turns out gay, then I think the public might have been confronted with, like, we need to hate him because this is wrong. But at the same time, we can't, because he's so nice. And then I think it was that back and forth that made it difficult. Families also have difficulty seeing that that their kids can watch it and stuff with them around dinner and so on. But I'm like, there's way worse things. Like, people get murdered and you're like, oh, yes, how was your day? Everything's so fine. Everyone's just chilling.
Yeah.
And people are being murdered on screen, but then they see two boys just like fluttering their eyes to each other and then it's so much worse. Yeah. Like, how can you show this to our children? That was kind of bad. But positive things that came from it for me specifically was that I've always wanted to have this kind of representation, especially around my family when we're eating dinner, because I wanted to be able to not just watch things by myself or so it's like you can be around your family and everyone's watching the show and then you have this representation happening in front of you. I think that's a very powerful effect that it can have. So that definitely happened. And I got lots of messages from all kinds of people being like, lots of kids being like, thank you for to just the meaning that it means to families like ours and for me to see this on screen and for what you mean to our community and yada yada. So that felt great. And then I just forget all the negative.
Okay. So with the negative, was it easy to forget or did it take your time to forget it? Because I know for me, yes, positive, but somehow, sometimes the brain – and I don't want to speak to myself because I don't want to manifest it or focus on. Sometimes my brain is like, oh, I need to hone on about this thing that is negative and what did I do wrong or whatever. So did it take you a moment or a period of time to say, okay, just forget about that? Or was it from that day, like, let me focus on the positive and forget about the negative?
No, it kind of lingers, I guess, here and there. Because also going into public, there was a part where my fan base is also so weird because I think it's like all the generation Tunnies, basically. Yes. And so they.
So for the overseas listeners, Tunnies equals aunties. Yes. There we go.
Aunties. And yeah. Love them. Love you all. thank you. But so that kind of happened where they all liked me. And then when he came out as gay, then you can see they all became all suddenly like a little bit more distant, like being like, that's Chris over there. Not like running towards me screaming, please take a photo.
Like in public and
that. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So that kind of changed. So that was kind of like a shift, and it reminds you about it all the time. But the moment when I realized it started happening, I kind of wanted to put a stop to it because I was worried that there was going to be other boys seeing me living my life, being queer, being out there, being loud and wonderful and just myself and happy. And they were like, oh, if he can do it, maybe I can as well. And then if they see the backlash, they're like, oh, no, wait, maybe that is the exact reason why I shouldn't be doing this, because look at all the backlash he's getting and all the hate speech people are giving him and whatever. So then I was like, that's horrible. And I don't want to jeopardize the younger generation's experience of their queerness. So I then made a video on my social media where I just like chatted the one morning and being like, do you know that this is the effect that these kind of things have on people like us and to kids, and that it can have on your kids as well? So just
be mindful.
Be mindful and know that your words carry value and carry weight and whatever. I sent that out, and that just also went a little bit everywhere, all over the place. And then I wrote this letter where I also explained my thoughts, where I kind of like just wrote a letter to these kids who might be feeling like me and then feel closeted and feel like there's not a safe space for them to get out to. I'm like, forget about the people who hate you. And there's so many people that would love you and accept you and whatever. Send that letter out. And all of that also then created a little bit of a boom. And then all the articles and stuff came out. I think there was like 14 or 15 or something articles written about the speeches and stuff that I gave and the letter that
articles
I wrote.
In news media.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So I kind of went a little bit everywhere, which was nice.
Yeah.
And then I was like, yeah, I don't care about the haters.
Okay. So that, in doing those exercises, allowed you to process them, release them, let them go, and then focus on the positive. So it was a good way actions made to process it.
Mm-hmm.
I love my soapies. Okay. I love them. I wish we still had Days of Our Lives in South Africa. Still just bring that out there. But anyway, so now I watched EastEnders, and I remember the one younger character, late teens, early 20s, where they were busy with discussions. And he said, the other guy was saying, who is gay in the show, was sort of like pointing out someone. And the other character was thinking, okay, he was hitting on him. But the other guy was pointing out a girl. But his response was like, I'm mostly straight. And it's interesting the vocab and communication that is happening on, like in Heartstopper and all these various shows, that it's just opening and opening up, which is fantastic. I just wish it was there when I was younger. Like, so just to help calm the brains and everything.
Yeah.
So what's coming up in the next while?
So that part is now done, but I am looking forward to possibly being in all kinds of different shows. I'm sending my auditions out. I heard that there's a Cook Seisoen 2, so just putting that out there, I'm available. And then, also, I don't know about Vafi, but I think they are also being discontinued now. I'm not completely sure. But if there's another season, also available. So I'm just going to keep auditioning and try to do something. I did a little Kijknet Story film that will be coming out in December. I can't release anything about that now. Yeah. But so that's very exciting. I still work at the agency like I do on my 9-to-5 and event planning and so on. So
what do you mean you work at the agency?
I work at Thespian's Talent Agency.
Okay.
Yes. So I work there. I have sort of my own agent at the same time, which worked out well. But that's my 9-to-5 and how I actually got the audition brief for.
Okay.
I was like, oh, this looks interesting. Let's try it myself.
That's good, yeah.
I work there. I do event planning. So lots of different kind of nightlife events I'm still busy with. And then just producing. The short films that I produced is currently being edited. They're in the post-production phase. So they will be coming out maybe next month, I think. Yeah.
And do you still do production manager stuff?
Yeah. Well, I'm a producer now.
Oh. Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah. So you hire the production manager.
Yes.
There we go.
Yes.
I have to do that. What does it mean to work at an agency?
Well, you're an agent, right? Okay. So you have all your actors and everyone written on the board, and the productions send in their audition briefs.
Yes.
You work through them. You see what actors would be fitting for these specific roles. You send a brief to them. You get their self-tapes. Okay. You send it to the company again. You see which ones you want to see on a shortlist. They say, we want to see these. You speak to the actor, and you're like, okay, cool. We need to send this. You need to go to your callbacks or your audition tapes or whatever. So basically, you're just a liaison tip between actor and production company.
Because a lot of people out there don't know a lot of the behind. That's why whenever I interview all types of people, that's why I was about the production and what that means. Because a lot of people who not with the industry, they just watch one movie. It's like, oh, let's go home. Mm. And then they don't necessarily understand the nuts and bolts. So that's why it's always interesting to hear all these things.
Well, the most important part about an agent, I would say, is just to protect our actors so that they are paid fairly.
Yes.
They don't work overtime and don't get compensation for it. That they don't work under harsh conditions and that they're well looked after and that their contracts are in place, not being taken advantage of.
Yes.
All those type of things your actor, your agents do for their actors. Okay. Yeah.
So lots of exciting things coming up. I look forward to seeing all of them. So the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
Well, thank you for having me. And I'd say don't care about the haters and live your truth.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook @CelebSavant. That's CelebSavant.